Hello, this is Left Out on WRCT. We now have on the phone Professor Jules Lobel of the University of Pittsburgh and the Center for Constitutional Rights. Jules, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here.
Great, thank you for being on our show.
Thanks for inviting me.
We've been talking for a few minutes before we got you on the line about some of the cases two cases that I know interest you.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Guantanamo case that was
right.
just decided by the Supreme Court. And I read a little excerpt from the website of the CCR about that case.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other case was the Steve Kurtz case.
Uh-huh.
I guess you don't know the context exactly of what all we said, but maybe if you could just... I know that in the speech you gave... at Pitt last
mm-hmm.
week, you talked about connections between all the different kind of unconstitutional activities or illegal, maybe that's not your words, but illegal activities
mm-hmm.
of the U.S. government and how they're really connected to each other.
Right.
Maybe you could just pontificate on that for a while.
Uh-huh. Well, the basic Bush administration strategy in fighting terrorism is what I call a preventive paradigm. Instead of the normal rule of law, both in criminal law and international law, that you don't put somebody in jail or you don't attack another country until they've done something wrong. You know, we don't, in this country and in Western societies generally, we don't put people in jail just because we think they might be dangerous. We require that they have committed some crime, done something wrong. But the Bush administration in a whole number of areas is locking people up not because they've done anything wrong, but because they think they might do something wrong. They're using preventive detention. They rounded up 5,000 aliens since September 11th, and they've put them in jail. And as I said on my talk on Wednesday, they out of those 5,000, they've only got one conviction for any terrorist-related activity, and that conviction is probably going to be overturned on appeal. The rest of the people... they've all eventually had to let go because they didn't have any evidence on them at all.
Were those 5,000, were they foreigners mostly? Or
yeah,
these
are 5,000 foreigners,
uh-huh, okay.
Mainly Muslim. And then they've locked up several American citizens saying, you know, we're not going to charge you with a crime, but we're just going to designate you an enemy combatant. And simply by designating you an enemy combatant, the Bush administration has taken the position they can just lock people up and indefinitely, you know, what they say is until the war against terrorism is over, which
yeah.
Rumsfeld says is only going to be over when there are no major terrorist organizations in the world. And if that's the standard, then there'll be these folks, Padilla and Hamdi, will be locked up forever.
So Padilla and Hamdi are the citizens, right?
Yeah, they're citizens. They're not aliens.
Status of the Padilla case?
Well, Padilla... in which I worked on as an amicus brief. Padilla was first held as a material witness, and when he got off, he was detained in Chicago, in this country, not in the battle zone, and they said he was planning to make a radioactive, a dirty bomb of some sort. And, you know, normally the thing would be to get the evidence and to charge him, but they first detained him as a material witness. But, of course, there was nothing that he was a witness to. You know, there was no trial going on that he was going to testify in. And a material witness has a right to a lawyer. They didn't want to give him a right to a lawyer. So they then said, okay, we're not going to hold you as a material witness anymore. We're going to designate you as an enemy combatant and transferred him and has held him basically incommunicado for a couple of years. Now, his lawyer challenged that. And in the Court of Appeals, in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, the Court of Appeals held that you cannot detain an American citizen without criminally charging them and ordered the government to give him a charge within 60 days. The government appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, on a technicality, held that Padilla couldn't bring his case in New York, which is where he had first been detained as a material witness, but they had to bring his case in the Fourth Circuit, which is Virginia, South Carolina, those states, because that's where they're now detaining him as enemy combatants.
Is that just a cop-out to avoid having to decide the case?
Yeah,
it's just so ridiculous.
I think that the Supreme Court, that you see, In Hamdi, they said, Hamdi was caught on the battlefield, and they said in Hamdi, you can't just detain a guy who's an American citizen and just say you have almost no right to challenge it. You have to give the guy some serious hearing and due process rights. But in Hamdi, a narrow majority, and that was an 8-1 opinion, saying that what the government was doing was wrong. But they did say that you didn't have to charge him criminally. You had to give him some, you know, our position at the Center for Constitutional Rights is you shouldn't be able to detain any American citizen without charging them with a crime. You can't just say you're an enemy combatant and lock the person up. The court came to an intermediate position which decisively rejected the government's position. The government's position is we can just lock them up on the basis of our say-so. You know, we have an affidavit saying that Hamdi was captured in Afghanistan and that he was a member of the Taliban, and that should be good enough, that as long as we submit that. If we don't submit anything, then you should release him. But as long as we submit something, that's good enough. The court said that's not good enough, and what the government's doing in Hamdi is no good, and that they have to have a serious hearing where he can challenge what they're saying. But the court didn't say it has to comport with all the process of a criminal trial, which is our position in Padilla. I think the reason they ducked Padilla was because Padilla raised the hardest case, namely whether you could take somebody captured, not in Afghanistan, not on the battlefield, but in you or I or any American citizen, and say you're an enemy combatant and lock you up without having to file criminal charges against you. And my hunch, my feeling about reading the court's opinion is that if they had to decide that question, we might get the fifth vote to say you can't do that. But they didn't want to decide it, and I think what they're hoping is that it goes away somehow, that either they charge Padilla with a crime, which apparently there's some news reports that they might do, or they, you know, or maybe Bush won't get reelected, and
the case will be dropped somehow.
And the case somehow be dropped, because it was clear that from reading Hamdi, that the plurality opinion was did not want to extend the facts in Hamdi beyond capturing somebody in a foreign battlefield. Now, they still might, you know, if Padilla came up to them, it might be that the majority would hold that you can hold Padilla. But I don't. I think they wanted to duck that issue.
Wait, so with Hamdi, they ruled that the government had to charge him also?
No, in Hamdi,
the
government didn't have to charge him, but that they had to give him serious due process. And that's what the government didn't want to do. You know, they had to give him a right to a lawyer. They had to allow him to cross-examine, presumably, the government's witnesses, or at least have a right to rebut what the government says. You know, the government says, all we can do is we can say, Hamdi, here's our view of Hamdi, and as long as we say that and there's some evidence that we present, that's as far as it goes. And as I said, the court, in a major victory for the progressive forces, decisively rejected the Bush administration's argument. But they did allow Hamdi to be held without being charged.
Yeah, I see.
Now, again, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals held that you couldn't do that with Padilla, which was our view at the center. That was the brief. The brief we filed said an American citizen either has to be charged or let go.
Is that what habeas corpus means?
No, habeas corpus just is a, it doesn't have to do with citizenship at all. Habeas corpus simply means that any time the executive is detaining somebody illegally, for whatever reason, they may have charged them. They may have charged them, but they had a trial, and he may have been convicted, but convicted in a trial that had some flaws in it, like, let's say, the judge instructed the jury in an improper way. Any person in the United States, or now outside the United States in some situations, who is being held illegally who claims they're being held illegally, can bring a habeas corpus petition.
Okay.
And so the issue in the Guantanamo case was, does habeas corpus run out to aliens out being held outside of the United States.
Well, before you got on the line, I was kind of talking about that, that how absurd it was that they somehow by using Cuban, the fact that this place is in Cuba, even though it's totally controlled by American military,
right.
makes it any different. It's a bizarre, to me,
right.
bizarre loophole that, you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, the court agreed with you because, but the question really is that's left unanswered in the Guantanamo case. Is what about people in Iraq? What about somebody? Now, can they just move everybody outside of Cuba? And can they
move them back to Iraq or something?
Well, move them to Iraq or Afghanistan. Let's say they're holding people. You know, the Red Cross today came out with a report that they're holding thousands of people. Not thousands. That they're holding people secretly, and they're not. You know, they know that they've been captured. The Red Cross knows that these people have been captured, but they don't know, the government is refusing to admit where they are. And so can those people have a habeas claim? You know, they're being held illegally in that. Nobody knows if they're sort of being disappeared. This is like what happened in Chile. And,
yeah.
And the question left unanswered by Guantanamo is, by the Guantanamo case is, what if it weren't Cuba? What if it was someplace where we didn't have complete control, like Iraq? And our position is anybody anywhere in the world should be subject to habeas corpus.
Okay.
As long as the United States government legally,
sorry,
that should be the they should be able to bring a habeas corpus petition. The court didn't go that far. The court said. Cuba.
Yeah.
And, okay. You know, because this is Guantanamo and you have total control over the place, it's something that we have, you know, we have jurisdiction over.
Go ahead, Guy.
Okay. So I guess in the few minutes we have left, we had one other question for you, which was this, you know, case of local interest to us here at Carnegie Mellon, which is Steve Kurtz, since he used to be a faculty here.
Right.
And so we're wondering if you have anything to say about that case.
Well, I think this is an outrage under the guise of anti-terrorism. They're going after a legitimate professor, a legitimate artist. And I think people in Pittsburgh, particularly since there's a Pittsburgh connection, should join together to support Steve and also the professor at Pitt, who's also being charged. But, you know, at first they were investigating him for terrorism. Under the Patriot Act, but it was clear that they had no evidence on that. So now I think they're trying to get him on a technicality, which somehow he got this material in a way that he wasn't supposed to. But if the material is innocuous and you're entitled to get it, it seems ludicrous for the forces of the federal government to be spending their time charging artists because of the way they've gotten perfectly legitimate material.
So why are they doing it?
Oh, it's clear that what's really underlying a lot of this whole anti-terrorism business is assault on political activists. And that's why they're doing it with respect to Steve Kurtz. Obviously, he's a political activist. If he was just an innocuous artist, I can't believe that they'd be prosecuting him. But I think that they are worried about his political activism.
But wouldn't that apply to me and you and
that's why
a lot of other people?
That's why it's a frightening case, I think.
So if they could find a technicality on which to throw me in the slammer because I've got this show and I've been agitating, and of course that applies to you as well.
Well, that's right. The frightening thing about the federal government's great prosecutorial powers is that, you know, they could go after people on technicalities. And, you know, for example, a lot of those immigrants who were caught up in the anti-terrorism sweep were eventually deported or charged with crimes having nothing to do with terrorism, but simply having to do with having overstayed their visa or, you know, being confronted by the FBI and in a panic not telling the FBI the truth. If the FBI comes and asks you a question, and they say, you know, do you live at such and such an address? And you say, no, I live at another address, and it turns out to be wrong. That's a federal crime. And so instead of charging them with terrorism, they charged them with, you know, technical violations.
Yeah.
Under the whole guise of terrorism, fighting terrorism, they're targeting certain groups and certain people. And since they have nothing on having to do with terrorism on these people, they're just charging them with anything they can come up with. And that's part. Ashcroft admits to that. Ashcroft says, we're trying to keep dangerous people off the street, and if we don't have any evidence, we know that they're dangerous, and if we don't have any evidence that they're terrorists, we're going to charge them with anything. You know, anything that we can get our hands on.
They're dangerous to the Bush administration, not dangerous to anybody else.
Exactly. And the other thing is, who decides if these people are dangerous? I mean, aren't they dangerous if they've committed some crime, or are they going to commit some crime? If they haven't committed any crime, but they, you know, didn't stop at a red light, you know, you shouldn't go after them based on technicalities. You know, of course, you can go after people because they've committed crimes, but in this case, they're selectively targeting somebody because of their political affiliations and political activism. And that's what's, I think, frightening, because if they could do it to Steve Kurtz, they could do it to anybody.
Well, thank you very much for being on our show, and I really admire the what you've done with the Center for Constitutional Rights and the courage you guys had to file these cases when you were being harassed.
Well, and at a time when it wasn't popular.
Right.
You know, now the tide is turning a little bit. So.
Right.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, and good luck with your show.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Left Out on WRCT. You can go to our website, leftout.info, to see our previous shows, program notes for the current show, also listen to the current show, and also listen to the speech by Professor Lobel the speech he gave last week at Pitt. We have 2 minutes left. No, 30 seconds left. Sorry. 30 seconds left. Do you want to say anything else, Guy? Any other notes that were last-minute announcements or reminders or anything?
Well, I guess in 30 seconds we
don't have a lot of time. I lost my here. Yeah, the movie Outfoxed. First I want to remind you that Amy Goodman is coming on Friday, and you can come to her speech at 7 p.m. at the McConomy Auditorium at CMU, which is in the University Center. There's parking available in the garage on Forbes Avenue. You can get tickets at the door, and that's Amy Goodman at 7 p.m. in McConomy Auditorium at CMU. And also go to MoveOn.org's website to check out the movie Outfoxed that you can go to a party and see on July 18th, which is Sunday. That's it for the show. So have a great time. We'll see you next week. It's Rust Belt Radio at this time, and then 2 weeks from now we'll have Left Out.